Welcome, everyone, to our teleconference this evening with Jeanette Bronet. And this evening we are talking about inflammation, decreasing the inflammation in the body. Jeanette Bronet is a nourishment counselor, a certified Ericksonian hypnotherapist, and a motivational speaker. She is board certified with the AADP from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, and she is certified with Tom Monty in Integrative Compassionate Counseling. She also has extensive training in macrobiotic healing. I'm thrilled and so excited to have Jeanette with us this evening, a dear colleague and friend. Jeanette, welcome to the call.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So we're going to do this in a bit of an interview fashion. And Jeanette, this is such an interesting concept to me, this whole thing about inflammation. Tell us, what is it we really need to understand about inflammation?
I think we need to understand that it's the key to health, basically. Mm-hmm. It's the key to health and wellness overall for the future in our everyday life. It's a topic that's not really talked about very much, but it's basically the ground rules for everything that happens in our bodies, I think.
How does someone How does someone know their body's inflamed? What are some of the physical symptoms we can see, as well as maybe some of the sensations even in the body?
Yeah. Well, if you think of it as if you stump your thumb and it gets thick and swollen and mm-hmm. hard to move it and sore,
mm-hmm.
that is an inflammation in a joint. Your whole body can pretty much feel that way. But some of the things with inflammation, and I'm going to be, like, talking myself up here because this is a really, really passionate topic of mine because I feel it's the key that we all hold in our hands to take care of our own health. So if I get really excited as we go along, you can tell me to calm down.
Oh, no, that's okay.
But basically, you know, we feel it in the beginning, we feel it as being tired, sluggish, maybe moody, things like that. We might then later feel it like soreness in our bodies, bloated, sense of just not really feeling okay, maybe thinning hair or hair loss, skin rashes, things like that. But as it goes along, it becomes anything from diabetes, heart disease, cancer, osteoporosis. It's basically what happens in our bodies when they start breaking down is inflammation.
Mm-hmm. And would you say the puffiness that might be, you know, we may see in the body, sometimes people feel very puffy or bloaty, that type of thing, could we also attribute that to being some inflammation as well?
That is basically an inflammatory response, yes. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that you're sick and ill just because you're feeling a little bloated. But it does have that same indication that there are different levels of being inflamed. But we can be more inflamed one day and not so much the next.
Mm-hmm.
It's really almost like an organism within us that is pretty immediate response, actually.
Yeah. Well, then what would you say is the relationship between inflammation and weight management or weight gain?
Well, inflammation is a very large topic, so to speak, but if you go directly to weight management and weight gain, the more inflamed we are, the more toxins we have stored in our bodies, and the more mucus, so to speak, you can think of it as the pus that comes with an inflamed wound, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we are more inflamed, not only do we not absorb nutrients as well, and therefore we tend to overeat. We also don't feel the same level of energy, so therefore we tend to overeat or eat stimulating foods.
Mm.
But also we have an unrealistic hunger signals, so to speak. And when I say unrealistic, it could be, for example, hungry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That is a indication of inflammation, for example.
Really? So hungry all the time is an indication of inflammation?
Yeah, because it
wow.
means that there's too much going on in your – partly it can be because you're not getting enough nutrients from your food because your food choices might not be as optimal as they could be.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also just be because you're not absorbing the nutrients from your food very well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very often – because inflammation is a little bit like a thickening of the intestinal wall from basically from bacteria.
From bacteria, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeanette, you mentioned...
I know it's not a very nice, it's not a very nice topic, so to speak.
Yeah, but like I said, it's fascinating because I don't think traditional doctors are talking about inflammation, are they? In the sense that we are they?
Not really, because that's the root core of the problem is inflammation. They're mm-hmm. talking about heart disease, diabetes, and all those other things. But that's what happens when you're too inflamed. But inflammation is the core root of the problem. And doctors really treat symptoms, not core root of the problem.
Mm, I see.
And that's part of why we don't really hear a doctor saying, oh, let me treat your inflammation. They say, let me treat your high cholesterol or your high blood pressure or your, you know, diabetes or what it is that we come with as so-called diseases. And disease is really just a dis-ease of the body, which means it's out of balance. And out of balance is basically also the same as an inflammation state.
Mm-hmm. Now, a little while ago, you mentioned stimulating foods, like what foods stimulate the inflammation. Is that what you were saying?
Well, yes. We tend to start eating foods that give us more energy, for example, sugar, caffeine, sodas, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a stimulating food, and it gives us more energy, but just for a moment. Mm-hmm. But it also feeds the inflammation, so it actually, in long term, causes us to be even more sluggish, even more tired, even more foggy.
Mm-hmm.
Even that sense of feeling that fogginess, sometimes you feel like, oh, I can't focus or concentrate.
Right.
That's also like that in inflammation type of state. Basically, what that is called is too much mucus in the system. Can give us that fogginess. But again, that's also a sign of inflammation, yeah.
Yes, yeah. You and I were also talking about, so there's some cases that I have in class where people either have Achilles tendonitis or some other type of injury where the injury has inflammation. Can you talk a little bit about what someone might call an athletic type of an injury or something they might have, that they might get it from working an active lifestyle? And that and the inflammation in the whole body that we're talking about. I mean, I know they're somewhat the same, but...
Right. Well, it's a bit like you a swollen foot, a swollen ankle, that's an inflammatory situation that goes on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you have a lot of injuries like sore knees and things like that, tightness in the body, tightness in both in joints but also in ligaments and things like that, it's very often because we're too acidic. And acidic and inflammation is sort of like two versions of the same thing.
Mm.
So soreness and tightness is very often a too acidic / too much inflammation in the body. Now, when I say inflammation, you very often will think of it as a sort of like sore and almost like when you look at a joint and it's reddish and swollen and puffy and you feel like there's a water in it.
Mm-hmm.
But being acidic is we don't necessarily have to be swollen and puffy and so on and so forth to be very acidic. Dryness and things like that can also be acidity, but it's another version of inflammation. So it's wrong to think that we are only inflamed if we're puffy, for example. Mm-hmm. Inflammation is something that lives inside our cells. So basically inflammation and acidity is the same as oxidation of a pipe. It is it's very much oxidation of our cells, which means that the cell can no longer self-heal. It can no longer have its cancer-fighting cells, and it also no longer has the antenna that goes out and says, is there any substances here that I should start getting ready, my immune system ready for? So, for example, the first indication of high acidity is, for example, that our immune system starts getting down and that we need more and more sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the cells inside our system become inflamed, and that's how they become diseased. And that's, for example, how it creates cancer, is a diseased cell that can no longer self-heal and fight off disease. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, absolutely. So you were talking about there's no more fighter ability in the cells then.
Yeah, every cell has a little, so-called a little warrior and a little lookout guard. So the lookout guard is like an antenna that's on each cell, and that is what recognizes if disease is in the area and if our immune system should kick in. And we also have in each cell, there's a fighter organism in each cell that helps fight off disease. And when we are too inflamed and too acidic, these sort of mechanisms shut down. To some extent, go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we can awaken those again.
Okay, that's the good news.
That's good news.
Tell us, Gina.
That's how we get the health back on track. That's the beauty of so-called Eastern medicine, is that it looks at the root core of the problem, which means we can do something about it. Because that's where the whole thing started, and that was part of our lifestyle, how we think, how we live, how we eat, what we do in general. That is what starts the whole part that is the imbalance that starts happening, and when in the end in Western medicine ends up in disease or illness.
So,
for example, high blood pressure is just your body's ability to balance itself out and push more blood through the system. High cholesterol is also the body's ability to adjust, because it's trying to push through and deal with an imbalance in what food you're eating. But the thing is that if these levels of imbalance become chronic, then we're talking about disease and basically inflammation is cause of all this.
Yeah, I love how you're saying it, because it's really broken down. So in a sense, to me, it neutralizes the emotion. It says, no, this is what's happening in the body, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not good, you're not bad. This is the body is actually trying to balance itself from all of this. So
we're amazing survival mechanisms. And the body will do what it can to survive as long as we support it.
So how can one begin this process of sort of decreasing the inflammation in the body?
A big part of it is to omit the foods that cause more inflammation and add more foods that are anti-inflammatory. And some people might have heard about the anti-inflammatory, because that is being talked about. It's being talked about, like, you have anti-inflammatory diet or anti-inflammatory foods. And the foods that fight inflammation are all your vegetables, especially green vegetables, good fats from omega-3 fatty acids. That's why a lot of people are taking fish oils, for example, flax seeds. So all the fats that are high in omega-3 fatty acids are fighting inflammation. It's anti-inflammatory. But the fats that cause inflammation are the fats that come from animal fats and fried foods, because they're high in omega-6 fatty acids.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can rebalance how much animal fat versus plant fat and fish that we eat, then that's one way to balance out acidity. If we can add more vegetables rather than having flour products, like, for example, anything from pasta, bread, cookies, refined food, junk food, processed sugar, things like that. That's all inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can put in like whole grain instead of refined grain. So the good news is that it's actually a matter of upgrading our food choices to become more whole and sort of like going back to real food.
Mm-hmm.
And we can fight inflammation that way.
Mm.
So that's the physical part of eating. It's also, instead of drinking soda, drinking water. Instead of drinking coffee, drinking tea, especially green tea. Green tea helps reset the antenna and the fighter organisms that we have in the cell.
Well, and really, so it'll help those cells come back on track a little bit.
Yes, indeed. Dairy is also one that causes the cells to be overloaded with insulin.
The cell is overloaded with insulin?
Yes, because actually we've learned that we should have fat-free milk. So basically we're having sugar water, because that's what's left after the fat is removed.
Mm.
Now, the fat in milk is not healthy fat, yes, because it is from animal fat. But what happens is that instead of avoiding dairy, we've switched to skim milk and 1%, which means that we're now getting high sugar waters.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting part is that dairy is being sort of promoted as a health food, and the reality is that it's causing really, really high insulin levels, along with cookies and bread and that kind of stuff, of course, too. Cake and candy, we all know that's not healthy, but if we can balance things out so that we get lesser of that and more of the whole stuff, then it's not about either or, it's an and, but it's the balance of how we add more of the good stuff that can balance out the inflammation.
Mm. Tell me, when you talk about the dairy, what about the things like, you know, the Greek yogurt and that type of thing? How is that good stuff?
It's better stuff than cow, for example, because it's sheep or goat. Mm-hmm. One of the things with dairy, and it's a little bit different than the inflammation conversation, but if you think of dairy, it's mother's milk. It's mother's milk for a calf to grow into a cow. And so the natural growth hormone that is in mother's milk is not designed for human consumption.
Mm.
It's designed for calves. And the proportion between a baby sheep and, what do you call that? You call that a lamb, don't you?
Yeah.
The proportion between a lamb to a sheep is not as big a difference than a calf to a cow. Plus, if you're not getting organic, you're getting additional growth hormones. There, hence, you grow even more.
I see.
But what's happening, this is the problem with it, and this is part of the inflammation issue that happens, is that the growth hormone in dairy, the natural growth hormone and the added growth hormone, causes our cancer cells to grow, because it's the same TGF-1 that caused cancer cells to grow. And so now if our inflammation is high at the same time and our growth hormone gets triggered by the dairy growth hormone, and especially if it's added growth hormone and antibiotics, which shuts down our immune system, we really become very, very imbalanced. So Greek yogurt is a far better choice, yes. And it's also not, don't go fat-free.
Don't go fat-free.
Don't go fat-free.
Right.
Also, it causes us to have less satisfaction from the food.
Yes. And that's a very interesting piece. Fat-free gives us less satisfaction from the food, yeah.
Yeah. Fat-free, and this fat-free, the whole concept of fat-free, that keeps people from eating nuts, which is a healthy anti-inflammatory food.
The nuts are?
Nuts are a healthy anti-inflammatory food. But instead, when we went fat-free, the message was don't have fat. And instead, there was much more sugar in our diet and in our food.
Right.
Well, guess what? Sugar causes more inflammation.
Wow.
You know, that partly because it directly causes more inflammation, but also because high insulin levels are the same as high inflammation.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And we know that we are a country that's getting higher and higher and higher insulin levels.
Insulin levels, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, because I know this is also part of the work that you do. You definitely take an integrated approach to the healing of the inflammation. Actually, let me back up for a minute. Before I go to that, I do know also a little bit about, if you don't mind, fibromyalgia. Are you familiar with the...
Yeah.
Okay. Could you speak a little bit to that? Because I think this is also something that I see in class at times, and from some of my clients, and the inflammation involved with fibromyalgia.
Well, it is. It is basically that. It's an inflammatory state. There's too much acidity in the body, and the body responds to the shutdown of the immune system, and it starts attacking itself. The way I treat fibromyalgia is by shifting the inflammation in the body, by adding good healing anti-inflammatory foods. I've seen people get better in like less than a month.
Wow.
But also, I will also add that a lot of fibromyalgia has a lot to do with food intolerances. There are two foods that cause more inflammation, but also more response as an immune response, and that is dairy and gluten.
Dairy and gluten.
Yeah. Those are the two foods that I most often see cause inflammatory and acidic imbalances in the body.
And Jeanette, would you mind, would you mind recapping once again the healing anti-inflammatory foods? You said vegetables.
Vegetables in general, especially green vegetables, anything in the green kingdom, anything from broccoli, string beans, asparagus, all of the above, but also root vegetables, your carrots, your beets. People are normally afraid of those because they say, oh, they're high in sugar, but then they go eat a cookie afterwards instead. And I have to tell you that's very two different sugars. One is inflammatory and one is anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. But also root vegetables in general, sweet potatoes, parsnip, rutabaga, all of those yummy root potatoes are also very wonderful. There are a couple of vegetables that actually are acidic, and that's what's called the nightshade vegetables. And that's pretty much the Italian food choices, actually. It's tomato, white potato, eggplant, peppers, spinach, and coffee. Those are inflammatory. And nightshade vegetables, and they do actually cause more acidity in the body. But what they do cause is inflammation in the joints. So, for example, people with arthritis will feel much more inflammation in the joints when they eat those vegetables. But apart from that, there are all other vegetables are alkalizing, so anti-inflammatory.
Beautiful.
But also a whole grain instead of refined flour. So that's, for example, your brown rice or your oatmeal, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The newer grain that has come on the market is quinoa. A lot of people are starting to pick that up. It's a wonderful grain, also mm-hmm. because it's a complete protein and is very high in omega-3 fatty acids. So, mm-hmm. again, you've got all the health properties right there of
right.
an anti-inflammatory and alkalizing food.
Oh, great. Yeah. So let me bring it back.
Go ahead. Fish, for example, fish and beans, legume family in general, is more alkalizing than meat and chicken, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, again, switching over to some of these other foods, either on a more or less often occasion, depending mm-hmm. on how much and how little our bodies are out of balance.
Wonderful. Listen, I love your passion. Don't get me wrong. It's really good to hear. You and I spoke also the relationship of stress. To
yes.
inflammation and how undervalued or whatever this relationship is.
Yeah, yeah. Like one thing I think is important is that if we don't like what we eat but we think it's healthy, then half of it's probably not helpful. I do think that we need to learn to love the food that we eat that's healthy and not do it as a chore, so to speak, because stress is a big part of inflammation. Stress is a huge cause of inflammation because of our nervous system. Nervous system is very much part of stress reaction because it's also part of the cell system. And so what happens is that if we live under high stress, partly because we make poor choices, but also partly because of our nervous system and how it's affected, becomes much more high stress. So things that can limit stress or alleviate stress, like movement, walk, running for those who feel that they can run, but I actually don't promote high impact and tough sort of like exercise, because actually over-exercising can also cause too much inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, we get sore from running too much or doing things that are too high impact on the body. But we need movement to release as well. So yoga, things like that, dancing, all that kind of stuff that releases mm-hmm. stress, but also meditation for those who meditate or journaling. Journaling is something that really, really helps with letting go of all the thoughts that we have that cause a lot of stress.
So it's
an all-integrated, holistic way of looking at it. It's not just the food we eat that cause stress in the body. And inflammation is basically the same as stress in the body.
I love the whole approach that you take to it. It's not just this or that. It's just trying to weave it all together really, really
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Jeanette, your passion is incredible. Before we open it to Q&A, is there anything else that you want to add on before we open up for questions?
Yeah, I just want to sort of like round off the integrated part, because our emotional health is just a really, really big important part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because our emotional health is also part of our cell communication in our system. And very often when we do get disease and illness in our system and in our body and imbalance, it's part of physical lifestyle and part of emotional lifestyle. And it manifests in the body as disease. It's kind of like a message system for us.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to invite our callers back onto the line by, if you hit on your keypad *7, you will be back live on the call. And we welcome your questions for Jeanette. So *7 will unmute your line and bring you back live on the call. And you are welcome to ask questions to Jeanette. If you wouldn't mind, just say your name, and so we know who it is, and ask your question. Star 7 will bring you back on the line. Does anyone have a question? Okay, Jeanette, I have a few. One of the things that I do see a lot is that I do believe people know. I've had women come up and say, like, they know something's wrong, but they can't quite, you know, figure it, like, what is it? And I think it's safe to say that this is definitely, this inflammation is happening more than we realize.
Yeah, it's the beginning of all disease, and that's when we start saying, oh, I'm not feeling right, and the doctor sends us home because he can't diagnose a problem. No, of course he can't, because it's inflammation.
Mm. You know, I have a question.
And we don't go get to do anything about it.
Yes. Go ahead. Someone had a question?
Millie?
Hi, Millie.
So I used to see someone who did holistic healing, but homeopathic healing, should I say? But her emphasis was always on, like, supplements. How do you feel about supplements?
I feel it depends on the supplements. Number one, if you are taking supplements, I think it needs to be made from whole foods, that they do in a laboratory, substances that are unnatural substances. But the thing is that we can overdo supplements because they can actually cause even more inflammation than they help. Because what often happens is that part of what causes inflammation is poor detoxification. So if we don't detox well, that's part of the toxins that build up in our system, right? So if we don't get rid of the toxins, they build up in our system and they become like an oxidation and a cell breakdown. Well, if we're not detoxing from all these supplements, because everything has to go through our liver. So our liver health is very, very, very closely connected to both our immune system and our inflammation. And so excess supplements become excess in toxic waste too, in my opinion.
So how would you recommend detoxing?
Well, detoxing is, for one, removing all the foods that I mentioned cause inflammation and cause too much toxic overload. But it also means, like, for example, things that cause more toxins in our system, if we take those out and add more of the other foods that are also mentioned help the anti-inflammation, you're already detoxing because your body automatically detoxes overnight.
Right.
One of the reasons why we wake up tired is because our bodies were not able to handle everything we put in it the night before or the day before. And especially the night before.
Right. You know, I usually call that a food hangover, you know, where the body hasn't been able to complete its work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Because overnight is when the body gets rid of stuff and it detoxes overnight. We are detoxing machines. But you can also do different detox programs, but I do not recommend like a fast, for example, and I don't recommend juice detoxing and things like that. If you're going to detox and you're not going to do it with food alone and just eating, the minute you start omitting unhealthy food and add healthy food, you're already on a detox.
Oh, that's
nice. But if you want to really go in depth with a detox, you can do it with certain supplements, but only to that limit that they support the detoxification phase and don't add to the toxins that get loaded into the body. And that's why I said some supplements can be fine, but depends on what they're made of. The body has to recognize it as food.
But Jeanette, I think you make a very good point, because I know there's some people on the call who, you know, think we've got a detox and it means going into this very strict, stringent, you know. But it's
even,
like you said, if you take out the inflammatory foods and start adding the anti-inflammatory foods, you're already making a shift in what's happening in the inflammation in the body.
Yes.
Terrific.
Yes. I had a client who was, not only was he in 9/11, so he was very toxic from all the overload there, but he was also drinking Coca-Cola every day. And he didn't do a formal detox with me. We just changed diet. Mm-hmm. And so he started eating differently. He started sweating gold, brown, gooey stuff at night.
Oh, my. Wow.
That's how much Diet Coke he had been drinking. He'd also been working for the Coca-Cola company.
Mm.
So he was just so toxic, and he completely started shifting. And shifting and shifting and shifting. And just with good foods and really shifting, not only was he able to, he could walk straight again. He used to be dizzy all the time.
Mm.
He could walk down the staircase without having to hold a hand railing. He could put the key into the keyhole again.
Wow.
And he lost, I think he's lost 75 to or something pounds now over this about 8 months, I think, 8 or 9 months. He's pretty much lost 10 pounds a month, which is a good, very, very steady, stable way of losing weight, you know, because the body can follow along.
Yes, yes.
But now he can do aerobics again, and he's in his 60s.
Wow, that's incredible.
You know? And that was without any heavy-duty detoxing, but it took him a good month before his body started picking up after all these foods that were starting to be eliminated.
Right, right. Incredible.
You know? Yeah.
Is there anyone else that has a question for Jeanette?
With that, I will say, can I add something?
Of course. You passionate
patience
person.
Patience is a virtue in this case, because it's so fast to get an immediate reaction from a candy bar to get you more energy. But when you're getting rid of these stimulating foods and start eating more whole foods, it takes the body about 20 minutes to pick up. Like if you eat an apple or a carrot instead, your energy is not picking up immediately within 5 minutes like it would a candy bar. It's going to pick up over the next 20 minutes. But the lasting effect is so much different, and then you don't get the crash afterwards. The crash is an indication of the body not being able to handle it. You know?
Yeah. And it's like you said that choosing the candy, you're inflaming the body again, where the apple or the other food source is, it's not a good bad food. It's not that, it's a more supportive food.
Yes, exactly. You support the body, and you give yourself lasting energy.
Wow. It's a star 7 if you want to unmute your line and ask Jeanette a question before we just say your name.
Can I add one more thing, though?
Rochelle, it's star 6 to unmute.
It's star 6?
Yes.
Thank you. I was trying
to press star 7. It wasn't working.
Okay, my directions are incorrect. Star 6 if you'd like to get back on the line. My apologies. Jeanette, go ahead. Did you have another thing?
Yeah, I was just going to say about before with the homeopathy. Normally, homeopathic medicine is different than a lot of supplements, because homeopathic medicine is actually that less is more. It's very small substances that you're adding to what the body already does for itself. But if you're adding a lot of supplements, it's different.
Right.
So I have to say,
question?
If you catch a cold or something, homeopathic medicine, for example, is a great way to go.
Terrific. Jeanette, now that we've got it cleared up, I think there are some more women on the line. Someone would like to ask a question?
Hi. Yeah, this is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Do you look at the glycemic index at all, or do you think of it as not relevant?
No, it's very relevant, yeah, because it's part of what affects the insulin levels, and insulin levels is one of the markers for inflammation. The lower your insulin levels are, and the lower your homocysteine levels are, and your different markers for inflammation, the lower all these are, and insulin is a huge marker for it. The lower that is, the better health you're in. And if you have a low glycemic index on your food, which is why I'm suggesting going whole food and complex carbohydrates, then your glycemic index are lower, and therefore for your inflammation and your insulin levels are lower. So, yes, I very much look at glycemic index.
Wonderful. Jeanette, we have time
for one. I think that people are always surprised at how high rice, whole or not, is on the glycemic.
It's actually not that high. It's not that high depending on how it's metabolized in the body. That's the big confusion. Because the fiber in brown rice, not in white rice is high in glycemic index, but brown rice actually helps balance your blood sugar levels because of the fiber level, but also because brown rice and the fiber in brown rice help draw toxins out of the intestines. So one of the ways to balance your insulin levels is actually having brown rice. The problem with insulin levels is flour products.
The white flour.
So
product.
I actually think that brown rice is a very misunderstood grain. And we have to remember that our bodies mainly live on glucose from complex carbs. Our muscles, our brain, our cells all live from glucose. So we have to have good complex carbs to feel good. And it's not, because if we don't get enough complex carbs, we tend to go for the simple carbs for fast energy.
Mm-hmm. Jeanette, we have time for one more question if someone's out there would like to ask one more question.
Hi, it's Anita. Several years ago, I was introduced to drinking a brand of water that was supposed to be, alkaline to help balance acidity.
Yep.
And the brand was called Trinity. I used to get it at Whole Foods, and then it kind of went away.
It's out of business. Yeah.
You can get a lot of alkaline water.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Any particular brand?
Well, as long as it's above 7.4, it's actually starting to alkalize. Now, what you can do is you can buy alkalizing drops that are basically minerals that go in the water. So you alkalize your water yourself.
Okay, and is that something that you would recommend?
Yeah, I add it from time to time. I don't religiously add it, but I do personally drink more alkaline water. But for example, Volvic, CG, are both a little bit above the neutral level.
Okay.
And there are a couple of waters out there that are more alkaline. Smart Water, I believe, is also alkaline, but actually they're not showing on there what pH level there is on it. There is one that I think is called Icelandic Water, but they're not as accessible either. But basically, a way to go is to buy some of the alkalizing drops, which, again, is basically mineral.
Okay.
Alkalize means to add minerals. The acidifying minerals are like your sodium, for example. So, for example, when you look at supplements, you have a whole range in the supplements of it, and it's, again, the balance of it that's important. Also avoiding sparkling water and things like that, which is more acidifying, is also one way to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Jeanette, thank you. I love your passion. As we bring this to a close, I just want to invite you all. You can reach Jeanette by on email with Jeanette@pathforlife.com. That's JEANETTE@pathforlife.com. Jeanette also has a fabulous food blog, and the food blog is pathforlifefood.com. I'll put both of these on my blog this evening, and feel free to check that out on RochelleRice.com. We will also, our next teleconference will be on Monday, November 29th, with Ryan Fuller, a therapist here in New York that's doing 3 steps to a healthier holiday season. Jeanette, I want to thank you so much. It was a very exciting, and I actually, there's so much to talk about on this one. We may have to do it again in the new year.
This follow-up. I also just want to add, I have a lot of newsletters on my website at pathforlife.com. There are several newsletters of different kinds where you can pick up more information on anti-inflammatory disease as well.
Terrific. Thank you, Jeanette, very much. Thank you all very much for being on the call. I welcome your comments and suggestions about this evening or anything you'd like to do in the future. Have a great evening, and thank you. Good night.
Have a good time, everyone.